Missionary Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." What sacrifices are you and I willing to make for what we believe? Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, calling us to put our plans in the hands of our loving Heavenly Father. Here's Elizabeth.
My talk this morning is on the gift of tenacity. Now, why do I call it a gift? Well, because God has given us the freedom to choose. And that is one of the most staggering facts to me about the nature of God, that He who is God and Lord of the universe and He who created everything from the tiniest creature to the glory of the heavens, that He should create people with the power to choose to defy Him. We can shake our fist in His face. We can declare to the universe that God does not exist, and He doesn't strike us with a thunderbolt. The story is told of, I believe, Voltaire, or one of those famous European atheists, who in front of a whole audience said, "I'm going to give God 1 minute to strike me dead if He lives, if God exists." And he stood with his watch while those very slow 60 seconds ticked by. And people fainted in the audience, waiting, scared to death that God was going to show His hand. And the time ran out, and Voltaire said, "I've proved to you that God does not exist." And a man stood up and he said, "No." He said, "You have only proved one thing, that God is very patient." "All things come of thee, and of thine own have we given thee." We have absolutely nothing to offer to God except what He has given us. And that should remind us of our utter poverty. What do we have to give to God? Well, if we give Him ourselves, where did they come from? It's like a little child who asks his mother for some money so that the little child can go and buy his mama a present. And of course, a loving mother is going to give the child the money. I can remember being given a dime to buy a Christmas present for my mother, and I was absolutely thrilled to find that I could buy a box of chocolates for 10 cents when I was about 5 years old. Can you imagine? Romano Guardini says, "Human existence was designed to rest not only on divine creation, but also upon human decision." Human existence was designed to rest not only on divine creation, but also upon human decision. And then he tells us why. Precisely because God's omnipotence is crowned in the freedom of the individual to accept or reject Him. That's a tremendous statement, and it sorts out one of the mysteries. It doesn't explain it, but it is an answer when people insist upon trying to figure out the mystery of God's omnipotence and man's choice. I'll read it again. Human existence was designed to rest not only on divine creation, but also upon human decision. Precisely because God's omnipotence is crowned in the freedom of the individual to accept or reject Him. God has created a world in which our work is necessary. Our choices matter. You teach your little child that he has to clean his room. Now, if the little child doesn't clean the room and you clean it for him, what have you taught him? You've taught him that he doesn't need to clean his room. So anytime we accept a responsibility that we have assigned to a child, then we are undermining that child's moral fiber. Some of you know the story of the farmer who had a beautiful wheat field. And the preacher went out to visit and stood there looking out over these endless acres of waving grain in the sunshine. And he said to John, the farmer, he said, "Well, John, you and God have done a wonderful job here." And John stood there and sort of kicked a clod of earth and took his hat off and slapped his thigh for a little bit. And he said, "Well, preacher," he said, "you should have seen it when God had it by Himself." God gives the sun and the rain and the seed and the soil, but God does not plant the seed, and he doesn't do all the fertilizing and the harrowing and the harvesting and the grinding and all the rest of it. And he doesn't wash my dishes. He never has. I don't ever expect him to. Because he has designed a world in which our choices matter. And one of the most magnificent proofs of his omnipotent design is that we are allowed to pray. And we are praying, of course, telling God things that God already knows, but it is God's gift laid in human hands. God knows what he's going to do, but God has designed a world in which my choices matter, and I can choose to pray or I can choose not to pray. I can say, well, what's the point of praying? God knows what he's going to do anyway, and he's not going to change his mind. There are a whole lot of things that are not going to happen unless we pray, because that's the way God arranged it. Not because he had to, because he wanted to. When Jesus was here on earth, he did the will of his Father perfectly, every minute of every hour of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. And he accepted the limitations of being a man. He who was omnipotent was no longer omnipotent. The Bible tells us he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. He who was omnipresent could not possibly be omnipresent and be a man. When he was in Samaria, he was not in Jerusalem. When he was in Jerusalem, he was not in Galilee. People closed their hearts to him, including his disciples. His disciples took a long time in those brief 3 years to figure out who he was. You remember that when they were in the boat on the sea, they were astounded that Jesus stood up and rebuked the wind and the waves, and the wind and the waves obeyed him. And they said to each other, who is this? And we read that at the end, they all forsook him and fled. Couldn't he have forced them to obey, to believe? Forced them to obey? Yes, he could have, but it was God's divine choice that you and I should have the choice to disobey and to be obtuse. People close their hearts. They should not close their hearts, but we do it all the time. So here we look at these two distinct attributes of God, his omnipotence and his conferring upon us the ability to choose. My second husband, Addison Leach, was a professor, a theologian, and a philosopher. And he taught in the seminary and, of course, had to answer the same questions every year from every new student that came about the most unanswerable of all theological and philosophical questions, and that is, why does God permit evil? And my husband would answer very simply. He said, we would drive in a theological stake over here on the sovereignty of God. We drive in another theological stake over here on man's freedom to choose. We're not going to get these stakes together intellectually. And as Evelyn Underhill said, if God were small enough to be understood, he would not be big enough to be worshiped. God's gift laid in human hands. The mystery of God's eternal omniscience and omnipotence and our freedom of choice. It is a hopelessly entangled mystery. This question of simultaneous freedom and necessity. God's gift laid in human hands. Now, do you understand this? I don't. Not intellectually. But instead of stewing over it and trying to sort it out with my feeble intellect, I want instead to lift it to the plane of adoration. And adoration asks for no explanations. We adore. We simply get down on our knees. We lift up our hands and say, Lord, I don't understand you. It would be very arrogant of me to imagine that I could. I certainly don't understand why you have allowed this or that to happen in my life or in the life of someone I love. But Lord, I do believe that you know exactly what you're doing, that you never make a mistake, and I'm going to trust you, and I'm going to leave this with you. This is what it means to be a Christian, to trust, obey, love, and adore, to put myself at God's disposal. And that's what Betty Scott Stamm did, didn't she? I give up all my own plans and purposes. I accept thy will for my life. I give myself, my life, my all, utterly to thee, to be thine forever. And when God saw fit to allow her and her husband to be captured by Chinese communists, they were tenacious. Their faith never faltered. God was in charge of this. God was allowing this. And John wrote a most beautiful letter to the China Inland Mission, of which they were members, explaining that they were in the hands of the communists. A tremendous ransom was being demanded, which he knew that the mission could not possibly pay, or and certainly would not, even if they could. And so he simply let the people in the mission know that he and Betty were perfectly at peace in the will of God, and let come what may.
As Elizabeth has said, anything if offered to God can and will become your gateway to joy. Elizabeth Elliot has been sharing timeless truth with ladies for many years, drawing insight from her Bible study and her experiences as a wife, mother, and missionary. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliot. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network, Charlotte, North Carolina.